pray for our team coming back from Uganda. I'm missing my wife. She gets back on Tuesday. They literally, at about 2 o'clock tonight, they start traveling, and we will not be home until 7 o'clock on Tuesday. It's like 40 hours of travel. It's ridiculous. So, and I have also heard that there was some terrorist threat in Entebbe Airport, and some of our people had heard that. Just if you have somebody that's traveling back, and I said this first service, and there was a woman in the front row, or right over here, and she had not heard it about her husband, which was really a fun moment for me in church, considering she's about 5-6 months pregnant as well, and her husband is a terrorist. But anyway, we hear this kind of stuff all the time whenever we go on these international trips. There's always some kind of threat, whatever. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray for our team, okay? So if you like the person next to you, hold their hand. If you don't, tell them. And let's just pray for our team, okay? Lord God, thank you. It's not always safe to go. But God, we serve a God that can protect us and keep us safe regardless of where we are. And I pray that you'd get this team home, and that we would hear story after story of the way you've changed their lives and what you did because they were willing to go. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let me start like this. Wouldn't it be great if, regardless of whatever situation you were in, you always knew the right way to respond? Wouldn't that be great? Unfortunately, that's just not the way life works, because life throws us all these weird different curveballs. But wouldn't it be awesome if you just always knew the right way to respond? But there's so many different weird things that happen to us, it's almost impossible to always know the right way to respond. Let me just give you a couple from the last several weeks of my life, these curveballs that have been thrown my way. Okay, first off, I have to let you know that, and if you don't know this, that means that you haven't seen me in the last 6 months, or you live 500 miles away. But 2 weeks ago, I was at the World Cup in Brazil. And if you need to hear more stories about the World Cup, then just stay here, because over the next 6 months, every message will have something about the World Cup. And that trip was incredible, unbelievable, but the preparation wasn't necessarily the greatest ever. You know, when you're going on a trip, there's just a couple things you have to do. You're going to be gone out of the country for a while. So I had $2,000 I needed to deposit in my account, $400 in cash, $1,600 in checks, and so I wandered over to my bank, and I don't want to run my bank down, so I won't tell you what bank it is. I'll just use the initials, B of A. Okay. So I'm at my ATM, and I'm doing my deposit, and I put my $400 in first because I'm always worried I'm going to get mugged at Scripps Ranch Boulevard at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I put in the checks. And I don't know if you've seen the screen that shows you the checks, you know, showing up. And I could see, after a while, it's thinking and doing more thinking than it probably should be doing. And then the screen goes blank. And I'm looking at the screen. No! No, I have $2,000 in you, and nothing to say that I put $2,000 in you, and $400 of it is cash. So I'm waiting. After 10 minutes, a new screen comes up and says, this ATM temporarily out of order. Well, there's a number right there, right? So I get my phone, and I'm calling, you know, frantically calling. And, of course, naturally, I can't talk to a human, right? And it's just 35 different buttons to try to get to a human. And finally, it was the voice-activated one. So I finally just, I stopped punching in numbers, and I stopped saying what I needed. I just started yelling, customer service! Customer service! And I was angry. I was $2,000 in the hole, angry, yelling. Well, I finally got through. And they said, oh, well, we're so glad you called, but this isn't the right place. We'll patch you through. Hung up on me. I call a second time. They hang up again. So this time I'm going to call somebody that knows they're going to hang up on me. I'm going to call the person that when you lose your credit card, because they're always there. because they're going to lose money if you don't pick up the phone on that one. So I get a hold of them, and she says, oh, well, I'm so glad you called, Mr. Hawkins, but that division isn't open today. You'll have to talk to them tomorrow. Wouldn't it be great to always know the right thing to do in every situation? Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, let me give you another situation. On this last Tuesday, the nice people at All Star Glass in Poway came to my business to replace the windshield in my car. And that was, you know, you had that happen. And you're probably thinking, well, how'd that happen? You know, did you hit a rock on the freeway? No. Did a tree fall on your car? No. Vandalism? No. This is how it happened. My wife is driving home from school with my daughter in the car, and my daughter has her feet up in the car. And she does this a lot, because there's always footprints on my car. And then she says to my wife, uh-oh, while she had her feet up, she stretched them out and cracked the glass. Really? Wouldn't it be great to know just the right response to say to your kid in that moment? Wouldn't that be great? Okay, let me give you one more. And surprisingly enough, this one has to do with the World Cup. So I had been planning this trip for 6 months. I had had tickets to this first game. I actually ended up going to two games. But this first game I had tickets to for 5 months. I bought a ticket for me, my son, and his water polo coach who lives in Sao Paulo. We were going to stay with him. And so we were going to go with him. And the only tickets I could get were 7 hours away from where we were staying. Curitiba is 7 hours away from Sao Paulo. 2 days before we're going to go, the water polo coach, who's our host, says to me, I can't go. You're going to have to go alone. Now, the first thing that he said to us when we got out of the car when we arrived in Brazil was, do you know that Brazil is one of the most violent places in the entire world? Do you know that we have the number two crime rate in the whole world? And we, in fact, this is awesome, we got picked up in his girlfriend's car, and his girlfriend's car is bulletproof. That's Brazil. And so then 2 days before, he says, I can't go to the game, but I'm sure you'll be fine. Oh, really? You've been telling us for 5 days how dangerous this is. We don't speak a word of Portuguese. Off you go on this bus. Hope you get to the stadium, okay? Wouldn't it be great to know just the right way to respond in that circumstance? Wouldn't you like to be able, in all of the circumstances, whether it's with your spouse or with your kids or a crisis happens in your life or some kind of sudden disaster comes into your life, to be able to say, man, I did the right thing. I responded the right way. I'm glad I did it like that. Folks, that's why the book of Proverbs was written. For this next month, we're going to be diving into this book to see just how to respond in these kinds of situations, just what kind of wisdom that we need in each of these situations. Now, I want to start off with just a couple of my favorite Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs 1 today, but I want to start out with just a couple. And the first one is this. I love this verse. Show it right up here. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. When I was on that phone with this unknown banking organization, I wish I had remembered that. You know, I'm not sure who is exactly to blame that the screen went blank and it took my $2,000 and didn't give me... I'm not sure who's to blame, but I'm pretty sure who wasn't to blame. And that was this nice little girl answering phones in the lost credit card department. And I hung up the phone, and quite honestly, I just felt like a jerk. You know, I knew this verse. Wouldn't it have been great had I remembered it before I made that call? What would happen in your life if these words became true in your marriage? That, you know, you get a credit card bill that you didn't expect, and you say, wouldn't it be great if instead of that anger that the gentle answer came out? Wouldn't it be great if you responded that way at work? Anybody have a 13-year-old? Wouldn't it be great to respond in that manner? Let me give you another one of my favorite verses. It's right here. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So I'm driving home in my car. I get a phone call from my wife. You're never going to believe this. Our daughter cracked our windshield with her feet. So I'm about a half mile from home. So I pull over to the side of the road. And I have a buddy of mine who actually runs down in the back. He's not here right now. He's here for service. Scott Marshall. I don't know if you know Scott. But Scott works in the insurance industry, and he told me that whenever I have an insurance question, call him first. So I get Scott on the line and say, Scott, man, you are not going to believe what happened to me. What should I do? He says, well, first off, a lot of insurance companies will replace that windshield glass for free without using your deductible, so you should call your company. Unfortunately, that's not my company. But secondly, he said this, there is no way your daughter pushed her feet against that glass and broke it. There must have been a crack. It must have been hit by a rock. There's no way she could do that just by the force of her feet. So when I went home and I saw my daughter, rather than saying, what were you doing? I can't believe this. You know how much this money is? I was able to say, you know what? I talked to my buddies. So there's no way that you could have been solely responsible for that, because I talked to counsel. How would our lives be different if we did that? You know, you think to yourself, you look back, some of our worst decisions, if I only asked, if I only said, hey, does this job seem like a good fit for me? What do you think about this person? Should I be dating her? You know, what about alcohol? Do you think alcohol is becoming too much to me? How much could our lives be different if we just simply followed that one phrase? Folks, the book of Proverbs was written for you and me so that we can respond, so that we can feel like, you know what, I did the right thing. And it'll help you in your business, and it'll help you with your kids, and it'll help you in your marriage. It has a lot to say about sex. Have I got your attention now? But let me tell you what won't help. It's not enough to show up for 4 Sundays in a row at Canyon Springs. I think it'll help. You got to make it part of your life. You've got to be reading it on a regular basis. That's why I gave you one of these. You have one? Anybody grab one of these? If you didn't get one, they're here. There, you grab one on the way out. And it's simple. It's a bookmark. You throw it in your Bible, and it has a day for every proverb. There's 31 chapters. In the next 31 days, your life could change. Just every time you read one, just check it off. And if it takes you longer than 31 days, fine. It takes you longer. But it's got to become part of your life. I'm going to challenge you with that today. So we're going to start looking at this book today. And we're going to start with Proverbs 1. But before we do that, I want to just take a moment. Bow your head. And just ask God to show up today. I don't know what you walked in here today. We all seem to walk in with something in our backpack, don't we? I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about my health. Something's going wrong. My mind's distracted. I'm guessing that's you. That was me this morning, and probably you. Just take a moment right now and say, God, help me to put those away and help me to just listen to you. Just take a moment and pray that right now. God, help me to just hear from you today. Lord God, I pray that you'd speak to us. That we'd just take this moment, that this would be a reset button. we'd be able to calmly sit and listen to your words. God, go beyond what I'm going to say. I'm not smart enough to reach every person. Boy, you are wise enough to reach every person where they're at today. And I pray that that's what you would do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you got a Bible, open it up to Proverbs 1. And I would challenge you, bring a Bible, not only to church every day, but grab this, grab a highlighter, grab a pen. When you hear something, underline it. That way you can go back to the things that are really important to you. Also, when you're reading the book of Proverbs, do the same thing. There will be certain verses, like my favorites, that will become your favorites. You can highlight those, and when you hit a tough time, you go right back to those, okay? So we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1. If you don't know what Proverbs is, it's real easy. Open your Bible right in the middle. You probably find the book of Psalms. It's right after the book of Psalms. Book of Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1, which is one line. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. All right, we're going to stop right there. We're going to do a little background on Solomon because we're going to be listening about words of wisdom. And when you listen to words of wisdom, you always want to make sure that the person you're listening to is valuable to listen to. For example, if you got a money issue and you got a friend who's a billionaire, you're talking to that person. You're not talking to me. You're talking to somebody who's a billionaire because they got a bunch of money, right? You can trust that person. How can we trust Solomon? Well, if you look at 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to do that in just a second. I'm going to put it right up on the screen so you don't have to flip. This is what would be written on, if Proverbs was a book, this would be written on the back of the book jacket. This story right here. This is how Solomon got his wisdom. Look at me right here. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want to give, for whatever you want me to give you. This is as close as the Bible ever gets to the story of Aladdin. Okay? You get one wish. Let me ask you, if God asks you, what's one thing? What do you want? What would it be? For me, I'm going for 3 more wishes, all right? Yes. Now, Lord my God, this is his answer. Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child. He's very young at this time when he became king. And do not know how to carry out my duties. Next slide. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. I want wisdom. For who's able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Solomon could have asked for anything. God, just make me wise. I'm going to be ruling your people. Make me wise. Now, God liked that answer. So much so that let's keep reading. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies. Is that what any of you thought when I said, what would you ask God? Death of your enemies. Since you haven't asked for that, but the discernment in administering justice, I'll do what you asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And not only that, God keeps going. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. And Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He answered correctly. And Solomon basically ended up with the big deal of the day. Not only do you get what's behind box number 8, you get everything else. And you're within $100, so you get the other deal too. You get everything. Everything that you could ever imagine. Now, I know you probably look at this story and go, okay, Solomon, good for you. You know, that's great for you. Listen, this is what you need to understand about wisdom. Yeah, God gave Solomon wealth and honor and long life. Listen, I'm here to tell you that if you make wisdom a part of your life, it doesn't always happen this way, but this is generally how life works. When you are wise, you will have more money. God will take care of your needs. You won't be so into what everybody thinks of you or having to drive this car or having to spend this much money on shoes. You won't matter to you as much. God will help you be faithful with what you have, and he will be faithful with you because you're honoring him with what you have. Now, that doesn't always happen. There are godly people that are broke. I know them. They're asking me for money. But generally, you put wisdom in your life, that's what happens. You also get honor. You know, if you're lying about people and slandering people, nobody's going to like you. But if you honor God, if you're faithful in your life, if you honor people around you, if you build them up, if you lift them up, if you're humble in heart, let me tell you something. That's a great rep. Solomon was honored. You'll be honored. It also says that Solomon got long life. I mean, this doesn't always happen, but generally, people who live godly lives, who are wise, live longer lives because they're not letting their addictions control them. You know, alcohol doesn't have that root in their life, and drugs don't get involved, and they're not giving their lives to relationships that are draining them of their life. You know, yeah, this is good words for some. This is good words for us. It's important that we learn these things in our lives. So look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. And let these words sink in. You'll be glad you did. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. And let me just say that if you are under 18 years old and you're sitting in church going, man, this is whatever, Proverbs, make this a part of your life now. And I can promise you, this room is filled with adults who are 40, 50, and 60 who are saying, dude, listen, I wish I had. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This whole book has one purpose, to make you wiser, to make you smarter, to help you understand just the way life works. That's why it's here. Now, what's our first step? Easy. Look at verse 7. You see what verse 7 said? What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you've ever heard anybody talk about the fear of the Lord, you've probably heard them say, well, you know, that word fear isn't like, ah, God, you know, that's not what it means. It means more, thanks for laughing, it means more respect. That's what that word fear means. And if you've ever heard anybody talk about that, this word fear, you've probably heard them say that. In fact, if you've ever heard me talk about it, you've probably heard me say it. But let me tell you something. Yeah, we need to respect God. But God is a big God and a powerful God and a scary God. And there's got to be an element of fear to it as well. There's got to be this feeling of, if I don't do what God calls me to do, you know what? Things might not go the way I want them to. There's a quote from the Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know if you're familiar with this or if you've seen the Chronicles of Narnia. Not only have not probably been a hole for the last 50 years. And God is represented by a lion named Aslan. And Susan finds out that Aslan is a lion, and she has this conversation. She actually has it with a beaver, but it's still really important. And she asks this, is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. And Mr. Beaver says this, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. Look, God is not safe. You know, I think we look at Proverbs like this book of manners. You know, okay, don't lie to each other. And make sure you seek wise counsel. And, you know, make sure you put your plates away after you use them. And don't put your feet up on the ottoman. And brush your teeth and go up and down. You know, this is how we think Proverbs is. Look, Proverbs is so much more than that. Proverbs says this, This is the way life works. And if you follow me, this is how life will go. And if you don't, buckle up. You think, well, you know what? I'm bored with my marriage. I'm going to throw a little life into my life and just have an affair. Let me tell you something. There goes your peace. It's gone. You know, Proverbs has a whole chapter that talks about alcohol. You let that be a foothold in your life, I am telling you, you are bringing the pain not only to your life, but everybody around you. Let's take something simpler, like lying. How do you feel when somebody lies to you? You know, I don't know what it is about me, but when I find out that somebody is deceiving me, all of a sudden, I shut off. You know, I develop this little wall. Why are you deceiving me like this? If you are that kind of person, you think, well, I just lie, you know, to get myself out of a jam. I'm telling you, at your work, in your office, in your neighborhood, in your family, you become a liar. That will hurt your reputation, and people will distance themselves from you. You see, Proverbs aren't just a book of manners. Proverbs detail the way life works. And if you do it, great. God will be for you. And if you don't, I'm telling you, you're going to bring the pain to you and your family. So this wasn't my idea. This was Paul. So if you don't like it, you know, blame Paul. But he said, God's like a chainsaw. Sounds like Paul, doesn't it? Sounds like a chainsaw. Everything's like a chainsaw. In Canada, that's what we do. We talk about God's chainsaws. Hockey. That's it. You know, have you ever used a chainsaw? I did once that I really remember using a chainsaw. I was living up in the mountains, and we had this little iron potbelly stove, and so I spent the day cutting wood. Did I just sound like Pa from Little House on the Prairie? Anyway, I was for one day. And so you got to be careful with those. And I realized it was time for me to stop when I looked down at my foot and realized that I had cut all the laces off of my boot. Look, I'm telling you, yeah, I respect God. But there better be an element of fear. Because he created this world, and this is how it works. He's good. He's not safe. Now, there's one phrase in here that I want to spend the rest of our time on, because I think it's really important. As you're beginning this journey of reading the book of Proverbs, it won't mean anything unless you learn this one line. And we're going to read the first three verses again. Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom. That's why the whole book is written, so you'll gain wisdom and instruction. For understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, and underline this, doing what is right and just and fair. Look, knowing is good, doing is better. Knowing is good, doing is better. God wants us to not just hear these words, he wants us to put it in our lives. Proverbs 22, I don't know, did I have this up on the screen? Yeah, here we go. Pay attention, turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it's pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Apply them, put them in your heart. Listen, that's why Sundays are never going to be enough. Have you ever tried, you know, you left Sunday and you thought, okay, that was great. I'm going to go do this. And so you go, I'm going to force myself to follow God. Just make myself stop sinning. You tried that? It just doesn't work. It's just another thing on your to-do list, and you fail, and then you feel bad, and you come back to church, you feel bad again, and so you leave. Look, you have to apply your heart to it. It has to become your regular pattern. You are forever getting other patterns in your mind. Television gives you patterns. Work gives you patterns. Culture gives you patterns. Buy this, wear this, whatever. You need to replace those patterns with new patterns. These patterns. Read it. Study it. Let it in your heart. Wake up in the morning. Go to bed at night and learn it. Apply it to your heart. Look, knowing is fine. Doing is always better. Okay, I'm going to see if I can illustrate this for you, and I don't think you're going to like this, but I'm going to do it anyway, just to make you mad, all right? I'll read you some statistics, okay? First one, 68.5% of Americans are overweight. You with me so far? 50% of Americans are dieting. I like reading those two together because 18.5% of Americans are just doing nothing about it. They're cool. They're happy with it. 31.8% of children and adolescents are overweight. 30.4% of low-income preschoolers are overweight or obese. According to these statistics, some statisticians are saying that 95% of Americans will be overweight by 2035. Okay, are you guys all okay if I stop reading those? I feel like I'm getting fatter just standing here reading these. Let me ask you a question. Is this what America needs? I got some diet books. Went to the library, got some diet books. Here's one called Fat Chance. Like this one. I don't know if I'll read that one. Here's a good one, maybe if you're just starting. The Complete Idiot's Guide to Total Nutrition. If that fits you. I don't like this title. Drop Dead Healthy. Your Inner Skinny, like that book. If you like the title, this church one, Skinny Bitch. Probably shouldn't have said that in church. Forgive me, children. I just read a cover. Here's another one. Suzanne Summers, Fast and Easy. I was just reading that thinking, how many guys picked this book up by mistake? Oh, I thought it was a video. That was wrong, wasn't it? Maybe I should study Proverbs. The Town That Lost a Ton. Let me ask you. Is this what... Do you think this is the answer? That what America needs? More diet books? I picked up 9 of them. But if you're looking for a diet book, don't worry. I checked at the Scripture Ranch Library. There's another 413 more. And if you want to pick up one on Amazon, there's 124,175 books on dieting. Just in the last 6 months, on Amazon's bestsellers, there are 141 new dieting books just in the last 6 months. Do you think this is what America needs? Do you think we need to know more about dieting? Do you think it's possible? Maybe. We need to start doing. Okay, let's stop talking about food, because I know for some of you, you're just going to go home, and this would be the whole point of the message was, man, I got to lose some weight. And then there's probably other people going, man, I just heard this, or going, man, I'm hungry. So, probably, you know, these are the Proverbs of Solomon for gaining wisdom and instruction. Doing what is right. And just and fair. Pay attention and turn your ears to the saying of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. Apply it. I think we live in a Christian culture that says, learn more, more, more. Take in more, 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 more. You know, I just want enough Christianity. I want to learn more. I want enough Christianity for my kids to be safe. That's not what this is about. Christianity is not safe. There's nothing about it that's safe. And if you look in the Old Testament, Joseph was thrown into slavery, and the people of Israel had to fight for their land, and David was chased and they tried to kill him. Daniel was thrown into the lions. Jesus was killed. Stephen was stoned by, you know, real rocks. Over and over. Paul was shipwrecked. John was exiled. This is what Christianity is. I think we get to this point in our life where we think, man, I just need to learn more and more and more and more and more and more. Folks, we know enough. We got to do. There are so many things in the Bible that it's just so easy. We have to love the people around us. God tells us to care for widows and orphans. He tells us to reach out to the least of these. Do you even know a widow? Do you even know an orphan? Proverbs 29:7 says this, the righteous care about justice for the poor, But the wicked have no such concern. Which side are you on? You know, this church has become so much about missions and reaching out and going to different places in the world. And I've heard this. People have told me this. They've come to me and said, I don't feel called to go on a mission trip. I've heard that. I've heard that many times. And inside of me, I want to say, did you feel called to Disney World? Because you went there. Did you feel called to Grand Cayman? Did you feel called to Maui? And I don't see anything in the Bible that says I should go to Disney World. I see lots in the Bible that says I should go disciple people in the other parts of the world. Now, listen, in all fairness, this is only a new thing for my wife and I. We spent, 18 years in ministry. We didn't go on mission trips or what have you. But you don't need to go to other places like that. You honestly don't, because there are plenty of least right around here, and there are plenty of widows right around here, and there are plenty of orphans right around here. And yeah, it's scary. But this thing was never supposed to be easy and safe. And people who travel to Uganda have terrorist threats. And people who reach out to widows and orphans here, it's frightening as well. You look in their life and find out what's really going on. It's frightening. That's what God calls us to do. If you think that sounds harsh, look at Proverbs 1, verse 24. This is how the chapter ends. And God is calling to us, and he's saying this, "But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and don't accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge. They did not choose to fear the Lord." Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm convicted by that. Maybe it's just time to start doing it, not just listen to it. All right, I want to leave you with one of my favorite proverbs. This is my favorite proverb, without question. I've memorized it, and it goes like this. At least in the version I memorized, it says, "Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he'll keep your foot from being snared." Those verses are really important to me because I grew up in an alcoholic family, and you always felt like with an alcoholic, you live with it, it's like you're living in a snow globe at any moment. You know, your life's going to be this. Sudden disaster can hit you at any time. And so I go to sudden disaster easy in my thinking. I have to try to overcome that. So 2 weeks ago, I'm in Brazil. I had planned a trip. Surprisingly, this illustration has to do with the World Cup. Anyway, so I'm in Brazil, and our host says, "I can't go with you. I've been planning for 6 months. You can't go with me?" In that moment, sudden disaster. That's how I felt. I don't speak Portuguese. Not a lot of people speak English there. How am I going to get where I need to go? How am I going to get my son to this game that we've been planning for 6 months? How am I going to do this? So this is what happened. They got us on the bus, and off we went. It was a really nice bus. We had to travel 7 hours. Within the first minute, right? It had to be the first minute. This kid, 20 years old, I'm here, Riley's here, he's sitting right here across the aisle from us. Vicinius. He's 20 years old with a 16-year-old sister. They're going to the same game we are. He has never, ever been out of Sao Paulo in his entire life. This is his very first trip. He has also never used his high school English outside of the classroom. And he's dying to do it. So he gets us in this conversation, and we're chatting it up. And he's doing great. His English is so much better than the two words of Portuguese that I know. And all of a sudden it clicks. I'm going, "Dude, what if we share a cab?" Says, "That would be great. Let's share a cab to the game." So we ride the 7 hours, and when we get off, I've got to get my bus pass back, which was not worked out at all. He spent 15 minutes talking to the people at the bus station working on my bus pass. We got on the cab. We took it out together. I paid for the cab. I'd pay for anything for this kid. I told him, hey, you're going out to lunch with us. Whatever. You're going to just hang out with us. We spent the entire day at the World Cup with this kid who translated us all day, every day. I mean, it was awesome. So we're about to walk in. We were 3 hours early for this game, and we're walking around the stadium. About 2 hours before the game, we said, let's go to our seats. I just want to see where our seats are at. And so we're walking around, and I had an extra ticket because this guy didn't go, right? The water polo coach didn't go. Our host couldn't make it. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll sell it, make some money back. Well, there was so much rioting around Brazil that you couldn't get within 6 blocks of the stadium without walking past 6 policemen on every street corner. I'm not making this up. And you had to show them your tickets. You couldn't even get in without showing them your tickets. So there's nobody I was going to sell my ticket to because everybody was in there and already had tickets. So we're walking in 2 hours before. And as we're walking in, I look over in this neighborhood and there's a kid, teenage kid. He's on a skateboard. And I turned to our interpreter and said, why don't you go ask that kid if he wants to go to the game? And his parents are right there. And here, I have a picture of that conversation. There it is, right there. His parents are right there. And his parents, I don't know, they must not love him, but they said, yeah, sure, go ahead, you stranger. That's Breno. He's standing right between me and his dad. Breno lives 2 blocks from the stadium, the soccer stadium. And he has never walked into the stadium one time. Now he's going to the World Cup. Another picture. This is us in our seats. There's Breno. Before the game, I walked up and I bought him a Coke and handed it to him. He was so happy. About 5 minutes before the game ends, he leaves, says, I got to go to the bathroom. He comes back with Cokes for us. Oh. That moment, Breno's now my Facebook friend. I got these pictures off of his Facebook posts. That day, that started out with sudden disaster, turned out to be the absolute highlight of our trip. This is what happens when you let God go before you. This is how it works out. When you invite Him in, when you study His wisdom, when you let Him come into your heart. So let me ask you, who's with me? Who's with me this month? See what God has for us. Let me pray. As we pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just bow your head, don't look around. And if you want, just pray the Solomon prayer. Say, God, give me wisdom. If you're under 18, pray it twice. God, give me wisdom. Speak wisdom into my life. Help me not just learn it, but help me to do it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you pour wisdom into our lives, God. And that we would be different. And that you would bring transformation into our parenting, into our marriages, to our workplace. That we'd walk through our streets looking out for the least of these and widows and orphans. Help us, God, to be your people. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, we were talking about Christianity is not safe. You know, one of the reasons why it's not, you know who was not safe for most? Jesus. While I was doing the dumbest things and sinning and running away from God, he was dying on a cross. He said, look, I will pay the penalty for your sin. Not because I'm such a great guy, but because I'm such a bad guy and I need it so much. And so he took a nail here, he took a nail here, he took one right between both of his legs, and he died on a cross. And in that moment, our sins were forgiven. Once a month, we celebrate this. And we do that with communion. And so this is how it's going to work. Kyle's going to play a song. When you feel God leading you, come up and take communion. This bread, you'll just tear off a piece. It's okay. It's cleanly. Don't worry about it. We're not double dipping. Dip it in the juice, which represents Christ's blood. And take this and remember what Christ has done for you. Now, one of the things that God says is before you take communion, make sure that you're right in your relationship with me. So as you sit in your chair, if there's anything you need to confess, let it out. And then come forward. We'll take communion together.
Make it.